reading this morning is from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 4, verses 14 to 20, entitled Jesus Announces the Good News and Jesus Calls His First Disciples. After John was put in prison, Jesus went into Galilee proclaiming the good news of God. The time has come, he said. The kingdom of God has come near. Repent and believe the good news. As Jesus walked beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw Simon and his brother Andrew casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Come, follow me, Jesus said, and I will send you out to fish for people. At once they left their nets and followed him. When he had gone a little further, he saw James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John in a boat, preparing their nets. And without delay he called them. And they left their father Zebedee in the boat with the hired men and followed him. And this is the word of the Lord. Heavenly Father, we thank you for Peter. And in these strange times, we ask that you calm our hearts and help us to concentrate on the words that you have given us to share. You have given him to share with us. In Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen. Well, good morning. Gerald's already alluded to the fact that in her Christmas Day speeches, Her Majesty Queen Elizabeth often pointed to Jesus. And so on this sad morning, we look where she looked. Our reading describes how Jesus recruited his first disciples. And making disciples is the second of our core values. You'll see these. I'll just put those back. The four headings that are our four core values of the church: to love God, to make disciples, to seek God's kingdom, to heal the city. We're going to focus this morning, as Gerald's already said, on the second of those: to make disciples. And the gospel account that Karen read for us this morning, really, rather than focusing on how we as followers of Jesus make disciples, it asks, how do we follow? How are we disciples? And I guess the underpinning idea from this morning's talk is that the best way to help others follow Jesus is to follow him ourselves. And maybe you'll be hearing the lessons from this passage at those two levels. How do we follow? And how do we encourage others to follow? But first, a little bit of background and say something about John the Baptist. You see, John the Baptist was a person profoundly shaped by God rather than somebody who was trapped within his culture. John was free. He was free to hear God's message, free to obey it. He was free from fear of the future. And so he was free to do whatever God wanted. He contrasts significantly with the religious leaders of his day, who manipulated their image, who obsessed about diet, who worried about the future. For John, everything was about God. His clothes, his diet, his message, all preached his sermon. All spoke truth to power. John the Baptist reached the downtrodden. He reached the oppressed Jewish people from sleepy villages and farms. He confronted religious leaders and authorities in the capital. He spoke a fearless, uncompromising message. He stirred up a revival of faith. People remembered their spiritual heritage after years of crushing Roman rule. Personal faith was on the rise. And then Herod sent his henchmen to arrest and imprison John. The Baptists' preaching and baptizing came to an abrupt end. Instead of standing by the Jordan River He was forced to sit in a gloomy prison cell. I imagine him wearing prison uniform in place of that camel hair suit. I imagine him eating prison porridge instead of insects. I imagine him talking to individuals instead of vast crowds. And when the party was over for John the Baptist, the authorities, it seems, had won. The crowd had been dispersed. The movement had been shut down. This was so discouraging. But it's at this moment the word of God cannot be imprisoned. Right at this point, in fulfillment of scriptures, Jesus came and began to preach good news. And this moment of transition, this moment when it seems that so many good things have come to an end, this is the moment. This is the moment when bad news has arrived, when sadness sweeps over people, when discouragement and disappointment affected the whole community. John the Baptist was imprisoned, and yet it's at this moment that Jesus comes, not with bad news, not with doom-filled grumbles about everything going wrong, not with a depressed message about good people being squished by the evil forces of the world. When disappointment threatens to lock down every sign of life, when sorrow washes over a community, this is the moment when the Spirit of God brings good news. And in the face of our nation's sorrow over the loss of the Queen, in the face of personal setbacks and disappointments in our own life, Jesus is the one who brings good news. The good news is that Jesus invites individuals to follow him. On that ordinary day, it would appear, they were just at work. Jesus was walking in an ordinary place. Jesus was not at that moment in an important place, not at Herod's palace, not in John's prison cell, but he's on a beach in the outback. Jesus came across some ordinary fishermen, Simon and Andrew, James and John. Fishing was not a high status activity in Jewish society. Okay, it's better than being an unwashed shepherd or a smelly tanner, but it's still pretty stinky work. The good news came to ordinary people, not high status, well-educated, rich people with good networks and significant friends. The day seems insignificant. The people seem insignificant. The moment seems insignificant. But it will change the world. Simon and Andrew's work had them standing and working as a team, throwing out the fishing net into the water and hauling it in. Physically demanding, emotionally charged work. Clear outcome indicators. Clear success criteria that will determine whether it's been a good day or not. Will they catch a shoal of fish or a shopping trolley? In contrast, James and John were sitting in the boat with Dad and the staff, mending their net. Each person sat with a length of the net on their lap, some good rope to use for the repairs, and a knife. Routine maintenance work, slow, unexciting, with few immediate results to show for their efforts. Most of the time, imagine it, sitting with the net on your lap. Most of the time, they couldn't even tell which direction they were working in. Which bit have I done? Which bit do I do next? How do I work this? It's hard to remember which way to go, which bit to check next, what to do. And I want to ask you this morning, what phase of life are you in? Do your days feel like Simon and Andrew? Hard work, physical, productive, profitable, exhilarating? Or maybe your day feels more like James and John's day, sitting with a net on your lap. A bit slow, a bit lost in your own thoughts, not really sure what to do next, or even where the next meal or the next adventure will come from. Today, Jesus calls us all, at whatever stage of life we're in. He calls the people who are sitting quietly. He calls those who are busy and active, those who are occupied. He calls people at work, people in church, people at home, the employed and the unemployed, the working and the retired, you and me. He calls us to follow. Sometimes it feels like Jesus invites us to have a chat. As if he would invite those fishermen to come and have a conversation, to review their business plan, to factor in sustainability, to consider depletion of fish stocks and sea pollution. As if Jesus called people to establish a kingdom business in the fishing sector, to pray before casting their net, to thank God for the fish they caught, to treat their competitors with courtesy and their customers with honesty. As if Jesus challenged people to adopt ethical business practices and to follow him in their hearts, however their fishing career unfolded. But that is not what happened to these four fishermen, these rough, weather-beaten individuals. This is not how Jesus called them, not simply to reform their fishing business. Jesus said, "Follow me," and they left behind their old life. They handed in their notice with immediate effect. They passed nets and tools and rope to their relatives, and off they went. Their lives turned around. They faced a new direction. They set off to a new place. This, of course, is what repentance means, turning round. These disciples were called into friendship with Jesus, to walk with him, to eat with him, to book into the same travel lodge. Disciples listen to everything he says. Not just the big sermons, but the everyday exchanges. They're called to watch and learn every day-to-day moment with Jesus. They join him in prayer. They watch him heal the sick. They stand next to him and no doubt quake in their boots as he confronts the authorities. They're following Jesus. We too, in our day, can get a glimpse of those things by reading the gospel accounts and thinking about what happened. We can watch out for the things that God is doing in our day and learning from them. Christian disciples are called to follow Jesus, to spend time with him, to listen and watch and learn. This is an essential foundation for being a disciple. Spending time with Jesus in reflection. To use that fishing metaphor for a moment, it's as if Jesus is the fisherman and we're the net. Do you ever feel like this? As if Jesus sits with us, checking if the threads of our inner world have rotted, if our networks have frayed and perished, if the knot of our heart has become undone. Of course, we can try and plunge into the world and catch fish. But without his work, repairing and strengthening the net of our life, fixing us inside, bringing good rope in place of rotted and frayed edges, without that inner work, we fall apart. Simon and Andrew, James and John, all came from families of fishermen. The skills and the tools were passed down from parents to children. And when childhood was over, The business was transferred to them. They took over their family business. This is how it had always been, from parents to children, generation to generation. Yet in response to Jesus, Simon and Andrew, James and John, accept the offer of a completely new career and go off with the wandering preacher. But what was on that job description? Jesus called them to what? To fish for people. What? Jesus spoke to them in their own familiar language. They understood fishing, so he used the language of fishing to get their attention. I think Jesus here, as in so many places in the scriptures, used powerful communication skills. And he does this whether he's talking to a couple of brothers or to a vast crowd. Here he is again. And somebody described this to me once as using R and O. It's the R of recognition. I understand that. Jesus uses the language of fishing to reach fishermen. There's an R. I get this. There's an R of recognition. But there's also an O of surprise. As Jesus says, you'll be fishers of people. And that's kind of weird and bewildering and tricky. So they recognize the familiar reference to fishing. It hooks their interest. While the surprising idea of fishing for people provokes a response, disciples become familiar with the things that Jesus says, but also surprised by the things he says. Is that your experience? How does your discipleship rate on R and O? Is it all so familiar? Or do you find yourself being surprised again and again? Have you got R and O? You see, these fishermen were given a new priority: people rather than fish. I know human beings vary, and there's people who just spend all their time with people. And there are other folks who seem to love things. But I can't help thinking that when people encounter Jesus, they find a renewed passion and interest and concern for people. Follow Jesus, and the painting is done for the pleasure it brings others. The house is tidied so that visitors feel welcome. The nursing shift is worked so that patients receive the best quality of care. Fishermen used to be preoccupied with catching fish so they could maximize profits or make a fantastic mackerel pate. In contrast, disciples of Jesus look for opportunities to bless people, to heal, to encourage, to comfort, to empower. Disciples of Jesus turn away from mere self-interest and turn towards promoting the interests of others. They want to see other people join in and become disciples of Jesus too. And that's part of the reason why all our four values as a church need to weave in together. Because as we follow Jesus, as we encourage others to become disciples of Jesus, so we cannot help but step out into the city to bring the love of God, the message of God, the good news of God to others. So we want to see others join in and become disciples of Jesus too. When the net has been repaired, it's thrown back into the Sea of Galilee and put to work catching fish. There's a rhythm here. In the Sea of Galilee, catching fish. Out on the deck of the boat, being repaired. And so with us, isn't it? If we spend all our time on the boat getting repaired, ultimately there's no catch. If you spend all your time in the sea, you'll fall apart and not be able to land the fish. Disciples of Jesus do both, maintaining inner spirituality and serving others. How are you? Where are you on that balance? On the deck of the boat? In the water? Of course, there's other time in the scriptures where Jesus advises his followers to plan ahead, to think things through and price it up before starting. Remember that tower? Work out how many bricks. Price it up before starting. But in today's story of the disciples following Jesus, there is no time for delay. Simon and Andrew, James and John, landed their catch. If I can just, if you'll indulge me to just pursue that fishing metaphor yet one more time. Imagine the fishermen landing their catch and then having a 3-week discussion about whether it's going to be fresh mackerel pate or served with beetroot and horseradish. No good, is it? Fish doesn't last that long. There's a need to act immediately. The gospel record tells us that some decisions need to be made quickly. These disciples immediately left their nets and followed Jesus without delay. So the best way to follow Jesus is to follow him ourselves. The best way to help others follow Jesus is to follow him ourselves and demonstrate that and lead others in. And sometimes, maybe more often than we think, the best way to follow is to act without delay. Where is he leading you today? Will you follow? Let's pray. Lord Jesus, across this church, we pray that you would help us to demonstrate your love for others by making disciples. Help us to be disciples. Help us to follow without delay. In Jesus' name we pray.